want to read again in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. That's the same chapter that our brother has read from, but I want to read this time at verse number 13. Matthew 27 and verse 13. Then said Pilate unto him, that is unto the Lord Jesus, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would, and they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore when they were gathered together, Pilate saith unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. The chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person, see ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Now that's all I want to read. And again we look to the Lord for to bless his word. Now if you were listening carefully over the past week or so, maybe months or so, to something that was happening right out there in the busy big world around us, there was an important trial that was taking place. I left Australia just, seems, a couple of weeks ago now, and the night I left, or the day I left, I passed a stand of some newspapers, and it said, Verdict expected tomorrow. So I wondered what was about. And then I had a closer look because they gave us a paper to read on the aircraft, and I saw that there was a man, and most of you maybe would have heard his name. His name was, I think, Lorenzo James Simpson. O.J. Simpson, as he's become known. And he faced a trial. And the trial went on for 8 months, or thereabouts. The trial cost, they tell me, something like $9 million. There were maybe a couple of dozen attorneys attending the case. 9 books have been written about it since it first started. 1,620 hours of time have been spent in televising the case. Not all of it, I suppose, has been shown. But there was a man, and it said, Verdict expected tomorrow. So I couldn't help but have my interest awakened a wee bit. I never heard the man's name until the whole question of the said trial arose. But the next day I was interested. In fact, it was just that night when the plane stopped in Hawaii or Honolulu. It said, Free. Free. And I took a look at the paper again, and I read the story, and not in great detail, but in some little detail, of how the man for whom the verdict had waited so long, it said he has been freed. One of the most amazing cases. It caught the attention of the whole world, almost. They tell us that some 57 million people waited on the verdict being announced from televisions and screens throughout the world, anxious to know what would happen. Now, it was a surprise to many. I couldn't tell you why he got off or the details of the case, but I want to tell you tonight about another prisoner who got off in most unlikely circumstances. I don't think there was $9 million spent on the case. There certainly were no time spent on televising it long before anything like that happened. Nobody, to my knowledge, has written any books about it, but four men in the Bible mention his name and tell the story. And I could never tell you why O.J. Simpson got off, got freed. I want to tell you how Barabbas got off. I want you to listen carefully. I don't know why the other man escaped. The case against him seemed to a lay person like myself, who's neither a lawyer nor a politician, the case against him seemed conclusive at stages. It looked as though there could be a verdict of guilty, but he was freed. I can never tell you why. I want to tell you how Barabbas got off. That much I do know. Now I want you to think about the story of this man tonight, just in the last part of the meeting. It will emphasize many of the truths that our brother has been bringing before us. But I want you to listen carefully and see how a man escaped a certain sentence of death. See the way that he escaped the judgment that was going to come upon him. There was a way of escape. And if there had been newspapers, I tell you, the next day's headlines could have been, Barabbas free. You know, whenever Mr. Nelson Mandela was in prison, and when he was released some years ago now, I remember a news headline that said, the world's most famous political prisoner, free. 25 years or thereabouts in jail. But I want to tell you, to my mind, Mr. Nelson Mandela was not the world's most famous political prisoner. You have read about him tonight. And here's a man who was taken in the insurrection, a man who was a rebel of his day, a man who was accused both in the scriptures of being a robber and a murderer. And there it could be emblazoned, and it is on the Bible page, free. Now you think carefully with me about the story of his freedom, because I think it mirrors in some way the story by which people today can be free from the judgment that surrounds them. Now, his case is not a wonderful parallel in many ways, but I want you to lift tonight some of the principles by which the story of this man is told and see if you can learn something for yourself in the meeting tonight. But first of all, I want to preach about his guilty past. His guilty past. There doesn't seem to be anybody walking up and down outside the prison with placards saying, Barabbas is innocent. There doesn't seem to be anybody forming a committee or appealing to the governor and saying, we've made a mistake. This man is not really guilty. Everybody seemed absolutely convinced Barabbas is guilty. He was taken in the very act of rebellion. He was known to be a robber, and he had committed murder in the rebellion that he planned. Maybe the ringleader of the group, I don't know. But there's nobody protesting his innocence. It's absolutely clear, even from the little record that we have about him, here's a man with a guilty past. That's exactly what Jason's been preaching tonight. Because that's true of everybody in the meeting. Oh, it's the boys and the girls, right to the oldest person that's here. Over their head, the Bible writes not only their name and who they are, because God knows every single one, but he writes over them this story of sadness. Everybody here has a guilty past. Now, the police may not know anything about you. You may not have committed any great crime. Your name is clear. Your license is clear. Your passport is clear. There's no difficulty as far as the authorities are concerned. But we look into what God has to say. And God says, as we were so well reminded, there is no difference, for all have sinned. That's right from the front seat, right to the back. Right from this front, right from here, right to the back. Over every person's life, the story is the same. Born in a palace, or born in a prison. No matter what the color of skin, the color of the culture we come from, the social status to which we belong, no matter where we live, who we are, where we work, or anything about us, the Bible says there is no difference. A guilty us. I wonder if we all realize that truth tonight. That's what's being preached about. I wonder if we all ready to say, yes, before God, I am guilty. Or are we still looking into the mirror and saying, well, I'm not as bad as somebody else. There's not much evidence against me. There's not a great deal of crime that I've committed. Well, that might be absolutely true now. Comparatively speaking, with other people, you may be a fairly good example, father, mother, child, whatever. But the Bible says, we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, listen to it, and that all the world may become guilty before God. So that's the first step. And in that I see a parallel with this man and every one of us. There in the prison in the States, that man's innocence, Simpson, was protested. Right to the very last, his counsel protested, wrongly accused, wrongly charged, not guilty of the crime, and even in the face of some evidence that looked pretty damning in itself, that looked dreadful before the courts, they still said not guilty. I wonder, are you still doing that tonight? In spite of what the Bible says? In spite of the fact that it says guilty, you say not guilty. In spite of the fact that God says, he that believeth not is condemned already, you say not guilty. Protesting. Definitely not. I don't belong to that group. I'm not guilty. I've never done the things that the Bible said. And so we protest our own innocence right along the road of life. Now listen, friend. The man that got freed in the end, he was a man that knew he had a guilty past. I hope tonight we're all helped to remember that and to look into the Word of God. Look into the Bible and see what God has said, my past is guilty. Second thing about him is this. I'm sure we don't have to read too far to see that here's a man with a grim prospect. Thank you, the future's looking dark. The future's bleak. As he looks out ahead, he's not planning what he's going to do in his retirement. As this man thinks about the future, he's not saying, I wonder now if that insurance policy I took out, 5 years ago, I wonder if how it'll work. Oh no, the prospect is grim and dark. Why? You can likely hear the very cross being fashioned outside the prison wall. You can likely hear as they prepare and they make ready for what was to be the next day. The next day is execution. So he's not wondering how things are going and whether the boys are outside and who's having a party and what the future holds and where he'll be for his holidays next year. He's not thinking like that. Prospects grim. The cross and the shadow of the cross is falling across his pathway. You can almost see the scene. He knows about it.
He knows how the law handled the cases. He would know that tomorrow three crosses would stand upon the hillside outside the city wall. And he would know that one of those crosses would be his. Absolutely no doubt about it. The end is grim and bleak.
Sometimes I wonder, you know, as his mother looked into his face when he was a little boy, did ever she think he would die on a cross? Huh? I wonder when he came into the world and started to take his first steps, did ever she think her boy would die a murderer's death? I wonder where he went wrong. I wonder when he started going a downward path. Was it the company he kept? Did his parents watch him growing up in a Jewish home? Did they watch him take a downward road and say, you know, our Barabbas, we're worried about him. He had a home, I judge, like the rest. I wonder, did his mother break her heart to see him taking a road of sin? The company of thieves, robbers, murderers. You see, you never know who's in a meeting, you know. Some of these boys and girls and men and women that are here tonight, the great potentials of life are before us to serve God. Some of these boys that are here, these girls tonight and young people, some of them could take the gospel further than their fathers have ever been, preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Just a boy in a meeting like this. Oh, listen, every child here tonight has potential to be something for God and to be a preacher of the gospel or a woman that would serve God, that they could die a murderer, maybe have a sad end. The road of sin is like that. And here's a man, he faces a grim prospect. The cross is before him, he's going to die. He's going to pay the penalty of his sin. He took another man's life. He's going to die for it. He's going to die. And your friend tonight, let me tell you very kindly, I'll be going away in a few days and I won't know what happens maybe to any of the folk that are here tonight, or maybe not many of them, and I may never see you again. But I want to tell you, listen, if you die without Christ, mind you, the prospect is very sad and bleak and grim. But the Bible says, ye shall go away into everlasting punishment. To live without Christ, I don't care if you live in a home where nobody knows the Bible, or if you're reared from your earliest days, if you go to sleep every night with a text above your bed, if you could sing the hymns as well as any Christian and find the place in the Bible before some of the Christians find it. I don't care you know the gospel back to front, as we would say, inside out and all its details. And I tell you, if you live without Christ and die as you are, you will go down to hell. That's exactly what the Bible teaches. Prospects grim. It's dark. It's serious. It's sad. And here's a man, the only thing of which he could be sure, the cross on which he was going to die. How sad. I want to tell you something else. There was in his life a great possibility. He said, I thought you said there was no hope. Well, just a minute now. Even though the prospect was so dark, it tells me that Pilate was wont to release unto them at the feast one prisoner. Well, now his chances were pretty slim, as you would know. I don't think Barabbas would have given too much hope for himself. Even if he had known the age-old custom that at the feast somebody got freed, if you'd come along and said to him, now, Barabbas, you never know, you know, you might not be sick. Not me. You look at the things I've done. Do you think the Roman authority is going to let me off? Do you think there's the slightest possibility that I'd get sent home? Do they know I would just do the same thing again?
And yet there's a little glimmer of light shining amid the darkness. A great, even a small possibility. There is freedom for somebody. There is a way of escape for somebody. It would have to come from the man who passed the sentence.
I said, Pilate, you know, Pilate and I know each other. Pilate knows me. I'd never get off. His hopes were very scanty, I would think. Just let me tell you something now, friend. It's great to know that as we come along to a gospel meeting, you know, even though we preach about sin and guilt, even though we preach about hell and darkness and judgment, it's great to know that in this precious book there's a light of hope that shines down on an audience like this. I want to tell you, it's just a possibility you could get saved. If I knew all the names of all the boys and all the girls and all the young people and all the parents, I could say, but you know, when you come into the meeting tonight, there's just the possibility that you could get saved before you leave.
You might say, I didn't come to get saved tonight.
No, I didn't. I'm just coming to the meeting because somebody invited me, and here I am, and I'm in the meeting, you know, but maybe you're even saying, I wish the meeting was over, and I'd soon be home, and I won't come back again.
There is the possibility, we believe it, that you in the meeting, whoever you are, and all that are here, you get saved. Because in the message of the Bible, and in the message of the Gospel, it's just like a torchlight, like a beam, shining amidst the darkness of the world.
God will of all men to the saved come unto the knowledge of the truth. God willeth not the death of any. As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that they turn from their evil way and live.
And I want you to get hold of that, dear friend, tonight. Even though you didn't come to the meeting to get saved, even though it was the last thing in your mind when you got up this morning,
just lay hold on this. It is possible for me to get saved. Gloriously possible. Because God makes provision in His Word.
For even guilty sinners that deserve a place in hell.
The Gospel tells of a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. And a door that is open that all may go in. Now listen, I want you to come with me to the big point now in my message. Here's a man who's guilty. All the world was watching the other guy just last week. See the verdict.
And then that word came through.
We, the jury, handling the case, find the defendant not guilty.
They tell that they showed apparently the man's actual reaction on the screen. You could see the relief on his face. You could see the clenched fist. You could see the joy. And you could see the attorneys embracing him. And there he is, free to leave the court.
What a day. I don't think you'll ever forget that moment, whatever else he remembers in life.
I don't think O.J. Simpson, with all his days of glory in the football field, or the film world, if you were to meet him and ask him someday, what's the greatest moment in your life, sir? You know what I think he'd tell you?
I'm sure he would. The time when somebody said to me, let's come up to Barabbas in this case. There he's sitting in the cell. The shadow of the cross just across his pathway. What's the future hold, Barabbas? No, I says, there's another night to go. Dying tomorrow.
But then he hears someone coming along the prison, the cell, or the corridor. Picture it now. Imagine you were there. Somebody's coming. He hears hurrying steps along the pathway. And he hears the key in the door turn. And the door's open.
Whatever, Abbott, you can go home now. Free. Are you sure you're not looking for another cell here? No. You. You can go home.
You have been part. You've been free. Ah. So they have decided that I wasn't guilty after all.
No. That's not why you're free.
So they decided that somebody else was a bigger sinner or guiltier than...
No, no, that's not why you're free.
But how can I go home? How can I... I haven't got to die on the cross tomorrow.
No, no. There's the door. You can go home now.
But how is it possible?
Well, I'll tell you. I can almost hear him coming down, looking into his face. Barabbas, you're free because another man's going to die in your place. You hear that? Barabbas, you can go free because another man's going to take your place upon the cross.
I say, my, he must be a big sinner. He's going to take my place. He's going to die on the cross that was meant for me. But who is this man? I never heard of a bigger rebel than myself. But they're going to let me go free, and another man's going to die. He must have been a big sinner. He must have been a right scoundrel of a person. And he's going to die in my place.
Yes.
What did he do?
Well, you see, the strange thing is, Barabbas, they couldn't find anything at all in this man of guilt or sin. They tried him. And Pilate said, I find no fault in this man.
He's going to die in my place, Barabbas says. And he's not guilty. And he's never done any harm.
No.
He's never done any wrong or committed any sin.
I don't understand that. No, friend, but that's just like the story of the gospel, you know. Here you are tonight, and there was I, just a sinner. And then one day somebody came along to Ireland, just the way I come along here, and the way you've heard it every week, maybe for months and years. And they said to me, now listen, Tom, even though you're a guilty sinner, we want to tell you that there's a way that you can be free in the condemnation of sin.
And even though you deserve a place in hell, I want to tell you there's a way of salvation.
At first I didn't understand it. And then they showed me that there was one who was willing to die in my place, that a soul so unworthy might live. In the path to the cross he was willing to take all the sins of my life to forgive. I love that verse our brother read amongst many others there. Who his own self bare our sin in his own body on the cross.
And there's Barabbas. Think of the grounds of pardon. That's the point I want to get to. His guilty past absolutely confirmed. His grim prospect, dying a death on a cross on the next day. The great possibility that there would be any little glimmer of hope at all, that somebody be free.
And then the grounds of pardon. Another man dying in your place.
He said, I've wondered about it. Didn't think about it. What do you think he said? He got the news. Let's just imagine this, and I don't really understand. Like, I have difficulty in believing. I have a great problem. I just cannot get around to really believing that this is happening or this could happen to me. I'll have to think about this.
Think about it. How long did I think about it?
I said, well, I just don't quite understand. Now, I know what you're saying. I know what's the language that I speak. And you're telling me that I was guilty and that I was sinful and I was going to die, but another innocent man is going to take my place.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? What do you think about? What's the problem? You see, I'm trying to believe it. I want to believe it, but I just can't. You know how people talk? Do you think Barabbas talk like that? You know what I think?
I think as soon as the door was open and somebody breathed into his ears, freedom! don't think we could have kept him too long in the prison. I can hear them straight out the door.
Lee, do you mean to say nobody's going to come after me now and bring you back again tomorrow?
No.
It's all been dealt with. The law demands that somebody dies and your pardon has been granted. Are you sure now there's nobody going to come after me tomorrow or next week and bring me in for those very same crimes? No. That has all been dealt with, the man. Dying in your place meets all the requirements. Isn't it strange that you've never been able to do that yet?
Some in the hall tonight? Well, I don't know, maybe there are a few still not saved.
Isn't it strange that after all the simple preaching some of you have heard, that still you sit there and you say, well, I'm guilty. I know I'm not saved. And you say, I know that if I died on a seat tonight, I would go to hell. You believe that? And you say, I know that Jesus came and died, and on the cross he gave his life. And I know he never sinned. I know he was spotless. You sing the hymns with the rest. Oh, spotless Lamb of God in me, the Father's holiness we see. I know all that, but I just can't say I'm saved.
Until you're prepared to take God at his word. What did Mr. McCandless tell us one night at the conference there? A pardon is only a piece of paper. It's not valuable until the person who has been pardoned receives. Will you take it in tonight? Come on now, think about it. This is something for all eternity. You can't afford to really waste time. You can't afford to hang about and just allow the whole thing to come and go. Immortal life's in the question and joy through eternity. Then what will you do with Jesus? What should the answer be? Is it enough for you that Jesus died? I don't know if Barabbas could say it now, in the sense that we would preach it. The Bible's very silent about it. There's not much said about him. It just says, and he released Barabbas unto them. There he goes. I think it'd be awful sad, you know, they never got saved. I've no grounds whatever of saying that he truly came to know the Saviour as his own, but I sometimes wonder what he did, you know, the next day. And I wondered in my own mind, totally supposition in a sense, but I wonder, did he make his way out to Golgotha amongst the crowd and look at three crosses standing side by side of broken law sight? Mind you, he knew the cross he could have sat. Two for the lone transgression cry. The middle one. I think he would have been able to say, I don't know what he appreciated. I hope he did. To think of a man that came into such close contact with Christ, as to see him personally, as it were, take his place, never bow and say thanks to the unto God for his unspeakable gift, would be a real tragedy. And I wonder if he knew the two men beside him, you know. I thought maybe they were colleagues, all three of them. I think they maybe were three of the same. I wonder, did he stand in the crowd one day and hear that friend of his say, Lord, remember me when I cometh into thy kingdom. And I wonder, did he hear the guarantee of pardon? Guarantee of pardon. Today shalt thou be with me. I remember the time of that man who lay to hell. Maybe you look at people. You saw them getting saved. You remember when they were just sinners? I wonder what Barabbas ever learned. Trial was over. The verdict was given. Never made the papers in the world of his day. Four books in our Bible record. He was free because another man. Now that's the only way that you and I can escape the wrath of God. And Barabbas just was simple enough, at least in the ordinary natural sense, to say, well, now if somebody else is going to die, I don't need to die as well. Did you think that tonight? It's enough that Jesus died and rose again for me. My brother read John 19. Reminded of a man in South Brazil. I knew him well. 40 years of age, he'd never been to school in his life. Just a humble man with nothing of this world. He sat in his little house one day, and through the open window, where there wasn't a window, just a little opening in the wall, and he heard somebody preach the gospel at the bottom of the street, a little street meeting. He heard the message. I'd like to learn more of that. He made his way to the little gospel hall, some distance from his home, quite a distance in fact, and he began to hear the gospel, and his heart was stirred. He began to learn of his sin and need, and how Christ died for the ungodly. He got a Bible, but he couldn't read a word of it. He just would look at it the way you would look at a Portuguese Bible, perhaps. He wouldn't have blown one page from the next or what it said. And he had a son of 12. And he said one day, sitting under the orange trees in the little garden of the house, he said, Carlos, I want you to read the Bible to me today. He said, where will I read? So he opened the Bible and he said, the way I would look at maybe some of the languages here, wouldn't have known one page from another. And he opened it and he said, read that wee bit there. He just pointed a couple of lines. What does that say? And the son read, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said to the spirit, bowed his head and gave up the ghost. So that man, that's it, I see it now. It's finished. It's all done. When Jesus died, it was finished. 40 years of age, without a letter to his name or a day of school, he took it in. Jesus died. Read. Say it. On the road to heaven. I teach it for many years. Learn to read after God's sake and live to prove the reality of the day when he comes. It is finished. Yes, indeed. Take it in tonight. Don't delay. Escape the wrath that's coming. Just be content to say, I was a guilty of Jesus died. May the Lord bless you. Our Father, we thank thee for thy word and all it teaches. How solemn are the words that tell us about our sin and need. How glorious the fact that the Savior upon the cross finished the work of redemption. Through his own self, bear our sins in his own body on the tree. We thank thee tonight with all our hearts for the one who took the place of guilty sinners and died that we might live. We pray that some may have helped tonight just to see him by the eye of faith and get to know him and trust him as their own Savior and say it is enough that he died. It is sufficient. All that was necessary was accomplished when the Lord Jesus died at Calvary. Bless thy word to every heart. Some maybe have a darker prospect before them than we know about, and not much time to lose. Thou knowest the lives of every one. We ask thy greatest blessing upon every soul unsaved as yet tonight, that this may be a turning point in someone's life, when in simple faith they will trust the Savior as their own. All this we ask in our Lord Jesus' name. Maybe we could just sing one verse in closing, of number 197. 197 says, my chains are snapped, the bonds of sin are broken, and I am free. Oh, let the triumphs of his grace be spoken, who died for me. We'll sing verse 3, maybe 3 and 4, the verses are short, 3 and 4 of 197, and then I'm leaving you.